of you and not of me. Is what my heart cries for, Lord.
Mahashiba Dagalaga.
May I decrease that you may. May you be the Lord of all. Ashada Galayana, Hosanna. Meshada Galayana, Meshaka Labayana Galavala. Ye Perez, Sekole Bayana Gayana. Itele Perezida Gayana. Itele Perezida Bayana. Itele Perezida Dana. Itele Dayana Yala Hashana. Itele yada yada ya, itele rapada yada, itele pere desida no, itele yada hasada na, itapara dege sele pere yala na, pashaka tala yala la la. Thank you, Master. We give you the praise and give you the honor. We give you the adoration. Blessed be your name. Honor to your name. Worship to your name. Thank you, Master, for this climate of explosive hunger, explosive passion, explosive yearning. Thank you, because we shall not be the last generation that will allow the devil to win the battle in our eyes and in our days. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, because your word shall be real, and your word shall be true, and your word shall be literal in our generation. We look up to your mercy. We look up to your help. We ask that not one person here will live here the same way they have come, that you shall cause us and help us to fulfill our destiny and fulfill your purpose. Blessed be your name, in Jesus' precious name. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord for a few minutes, and then we shall be through tonight.
May I decrease that you may increase. May you be the Lord of all. May I decrease that you may. May you be the Lord of all. May I decrease that you may increase. May you be the Lord of all.
Very sharp. Genesis chapter 7, verse 11. And verse 12. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day where all the fountains of the great deep broken open, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. The way of the rain, dash, deep brokenness, and open heaven. The way of the rain. In the morning, we saw a very, very critical requirement for the rain. And that was labor, walking the ground. The fountains of the great deep were broken. The windows of heaven opened, and the rain fell. Very sharply tonight, there are two critical requirements. If anybody must see the rain of the Spirit, the rain from heaven, the rain of revival. And the first requirement is called deep brokenness. Deep brokenness. Except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, and is broken, it abides alone. John chapter 12, verse 24. But if it breaks and cracks and dies, it bringeth forth much fruit. The rain falls for broken vessels. The rain falls on grounds where the depths are broken. It was Watchman Nee who says that the release of the Spirit happens after the death of the outer man. Many of the people whose stories we just heard were people of very, very deep brokenness. What are we talking about when we talk about deep brokenness? First, it refers to the life that is deprived of selfish motives and ambitions. A life that is deprived of selfish motives and ambitions. A life that is deprived of selfish motives and ambitions. That was what life the Master displayed. When at the cross of Calvary he said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Ambition, human ambition, will always stand in the way of heaven's unction. Always stand. What the man wants, how he wants it. A life, the life deprived of selfish motive and ambition. Secondly, it refers to the life that wholly depends on God. Wholly. A life wholly dependent on God. Literally, a life that is completely wasted and completely useless without God. I'll waste my life again and again on you. It was the experience of Joseph when God broke his thigh joint and broke it. In Genesis chapter 32 and in verse 24 all the way to verse 28. And he broke that joint and rendered it useless. From that day forward, the strength of Jacob was going to be tied to the help of God. The life that wholly depends on God, completely wasted, completely useless without God. What is deep brokenness about? It is number three, the life that is totally lived beyond self. Totally lived beyond self. A life that is lived for the benefit of a generation. Totally lived beyond self. Living for the benefit of a generation. That is the mystery of the alabaster box. When it was broken, the fragrance that was inside was no longer its own. That fragrance can saturate a room. That fragrance can saturate a climate and an atmosphere. Deep brokenness. What is deep brokenness referring to? Fourthly, it refers to the life that is lived for the glory and the honor of the Creator. 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 I am not out. It is that life that is not out to honor self. It is that life that is not out to glorify self. I think it was in again 1 John 12 and 24. He said, it abides alone. He said, now the hour has come that the Son of Man must be glorified. From verse 23. Except the corn of wheat falls to the earth and dies. That's John 12, 23. The hour is come that the Son of Man must be glorified. And then the death happens. What is the broken life all about? Number 5. It is the life that holds nothing back in the service of the Creator. Nothing is held back. Acts chapter 20, verse 20, Paul the Apostle said, how I have kept back nothing that was profitable to you, but I have showed you and I have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have kept back nothing that was profitable to you. Beloved brothers and sisters, the reason why we have not seen revival in our generation is because there is too much intact flesh. Too much intact flesh. Too many empire-building passion. Too much of personal achievement passion. Too much of desire to be known and desire to be heard and desire to do my thing. One of the days, our people followed us for crusade. I think it was the Asaba crusade. They said some group of people, I think a department, said they wanted to follow us. And when they followed us, we came back from the crusade. They said they brought crusade report. This is so and so. This is attendance count. This is so and so. I said, who told you to tell me attendance count? Who told you? I said, we have never counted one person. It's not part of our passion. We are not in the business of quoting to anybody how many people attended. We have never done it once. Who brought you here to do attendance count? We went to Taraba Crusade. The place was jammed in and out. I'm not aware of the count and I'm not interested. I'm not interested. Maybe at the end of the journey we may look at estimates, but I'm not interested. Who brought you here to do count? That was one of the things that killed the healing revival. Counts that are unrealistic. Unnecessary. I have the tent that is 10,000 seater tent. So let me buy a tent that is 10,500. We are not here. If you tell me how many people came out for altar call, I'm okay. How many came and got saved, I'll be all right with that. Please never you struggle to prove any point, because there is no point to prove. Never you struggle to outdo anybody or deshine anybody, because there is no need for that. We had a crusade in Benue State in Otukpo sometime, and then the whole place, this field was filled, the second field was filled, people were hanging on the trees, they were on the other side of the road. Guest minister who came asked me, he said, how many people do you think will be here? I said, I'm not aware, sir. He said, do you have an estimate? I said, I don't have, sir. It must be so and so amount. I said, I'm not aware, sir. We have zero count of it. A time may come, there may be, maybe for statistic reason. But that is the least of our consideration. If by the time a ground that can hold 10 million people is jammed to capacity, and it's over flooded all the way until you cannot see the end of the crowd, we are still not interested. Somebody say loud amen. Did you learn anything from these stories? Or a robust Billy Graham sneaked into Ora Robert's tent meeting and saw miracles until he wept, Billy Graham. the great Billy Graham. And he asked God inside that testimony, he said, can you give me power like this to heal many people like this? And God said, if you minister, some people may be healed. But I have given you just one thing to focus for your life. Salvation of souls. Face it. That is your message. He faced it throughout his life. One day they were singing Just As I Am without one plea. And singing such song that the blind eye was opened. And they ran and say, blind eye just opened. I said, no. Well, that is very strange in our meetings. He faced all that. He didn't want to be distracted. He didn't want anything to branch him away. We have enough money to build you a university like Oral Roberts. He said, that is not part of my calling. There is enough money, there is enough land. There are people, the only thing they want to do is what another person is doing. There are people that God called to build university in our generation. Christian churches. And of course, you know that 8 over 10 of the world's universities, the topmost are Christian universities. There are those who have no business with it at all. There are those who have no business with church planting at all. There are people who have an evangelistic mantle who are meant to be raw evangelists, but they feel like having a church will make them more comfortable. And then they branch into what God didn't call them. And you will never be rewarded for a labor you are not called into. Never. You just wasted your existence. You wasted your lifetime. You will never be rewarded for a labor that you have not been appointed unto. So we need to come to the point where we just humble ourselves. And just, if your lifetime is to be an usher in church, even if you feel the healing unction, go to the hospital, lay hands on the sick. As a matter of fact, he said, this sign shall follow them that believe. He didn't say this sign shall follow pastors. He didn't say this sign shall follow apostles. This sign shall follow them that believe. In my name, you shall lay hands on the sick. In my name, you shall cast out devils. Laying hands on the sick and casting out of devils should be the normal everyday life of a child of God. Somebody say amen. The normal everyday life of the child of God. This is very important. Deep brokenness. Let Jehovah perceive from you a soul that is deeply broken. Deep brokenness makes it impossible for you to divide the glory with God. It is God knows that the glory is secure. He knows that the honor is safe. He knows that everything he does, he will be the one who owns the glory. Possible. See, there are people here, there are people that God will never be able to make this kind of thing here to happen in their lives. No, it's not possible. I heard that some pastors sat in Lagos and they were talking with Jesus. It's one of the people who told me. They were all together. Yeah, that church is big church. 100,000 seater. He said, boss, think about it. If one person give 1,000, yes, that is 100 million. And somebody among them told him, said, so that is what you are thinking. Is that one who told me? Many times here we have forgotten to take offering. The massive crusade crowd you are seeing there, not a dime was taken on crusade ground. There are people who use offering on crusade ground to close their crusade ministry. People that I know. Buy this thing for so and so amount. 1,000 of you buy it. After a while, everything just nosedived. Deep brokenness. The easiest way not to miss where you are going is never to forget where you are coming from. The easiest way not to miss where you are going in life and in ministry is to make sure You are in touch. You have an altar of memory. Do you know that when Israel crossed the Jordan, as they were about to cross, God said, build a memorial altar in the wilderness here. Just to remind you what you passed through. Make an altar, a memorial altar. So that in time to come, your children will ask you, they won't be out of touch with the history. Everybody needs a memorial altar. Where are you coming from? Where are you now? Where are you going? One of my classmates in school, more than one now, made me know that the children needed, one was a child, and his children needed assistance to go to school. And I said, we're in class together 30 something years ago. Today, you want me to assist you with school fees? By the mercies of God, I have never asked anybody to assist me for children's school fees. Send me your account number, and I'm going to assist you with that school fees. Both as a help to you and as a gratitude to God, that but for God, I would have been the one asking. That kind of situation does not make you raise shoulder. It is a humbling encounter. It is an encounter that humbles you. Oh, is it possible that I could have been here? Is it possible that my life could have been here? Because there is nothing under heaven that you did that made you different. If you prayed, it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. If you were able to fast, it was God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. This brokenness of life that makes you to remain in touch with how you started and where you are coming from is what helps you not to forfeit where you are going. This is important. After 21 years, God told Jacob, return and make contact with Bethel. So that you don't forget the encounter that made you. So you don't forget even the covenants you made at Bethel. So you can remain in touch with your destiny. Make some contact with your history. Is God speaking to anybody here at all? Very, very important. To remain permanently with him. Paul the Apostle, who was a mobile revival, he said, by the grace of God, I am who I am. I cannot brag, I cannot boast. He said, I am supposed to be the least of apostles. I am not even qualified to be called an apostle, but see what grace did to me. He continuously spoke like that. He continuously talked like that. He reminded himself of who he was and where he was coming from. And he continued going. Ora Robert's mother told him, Ora, when people clap for you and they consider you big, please always remain small in your own eyes. Do you know what God told Saul? When thou was little in thy own sight, did not God anoint you to be king over Israel? That is, now you have become big. Now you are a boss. Now you are a geo. After you leave here tonight, one prayer you are going to pray to God. Lord, and it is better to allow revelation break you than to allow situations to break you. Because God can organize situations that can break a man. Yes, yeah, he can actually, he organized it for Nebuchadnezzar. He was so arrogant with pride. And he said, look at this Babylon that I built with my hand. And God said, so you are so big. Let me show you how small you are. And then by the time the situation finished with him, He said, at the end of the days, I lifted up my eyes. I lifted up my eyes. I lifted up my eyes. Don't let situation break you. Let the revelation of the word break you. Let the word of God circumcise you. Somebody say aloud, amen. Deep brokenness. Deep brokenness. When you hang around people, they will show you how big you are. When you hang around God, He will show you how little you are. It's a matter of choice. When Isaiah went into the, he saw the vision of the Lord, high and lifted up. He said, woe is me, woe is me. The almightiness of God will always reveal the nothingness of man. Always. Every time you begin to appear big in your eyes, it is proof positive that you have gone far from God. You have gone far from God. You have gone far. You are going far from God. You are going far from God. Deep brokenness. You know what Catherine Coleman said? Part of her secret, she said, I die 1,000 times. I just die 1,000 times. She said she has never been confident of her abilities. Many times she will be crying just before she steps to the altar. Just before she steps to the altar. Lord, will you help me today? Lord, will you help me today? Lord, will you help me today? Smith Wigglesworth said, only melted gold can be used for minting. He said, only crushed rose can bring out the fragrance. The pride of man must be crushed so that the heavens can be opened, so that the rain can come. The ego of man, what turned Lucifer into Satan the devil, was the unbendable ego. Unbendable. You know what? You've heard of Evan Roberts, who prayed for Wales revival for 13 years until the revival fell. Evan Roberts. You know his prayer? Oh Lord, bend us. Lord, bend us. Lord, please bend us. You know, I is straight. I. Lord, bend us. At the end of the bending, revival fell until judges had no case, police had no case, no police case, no report. The miners had to retrain their horses and mules because they used cuss word to train them. Bastard. All manner of those terrible things. By the time they repented, they couldn't change. They couldn't continue speaking like that. And when they say horse, come, the horse did not understand. The horse did not understand because they had used bad words, vulgar words. Well, you know the way the soldiers talk in their privacy. The mules needed to be retrained. Even animals felt the revival. The prayer was, bend us, bend us. You know, humility is feelable and arrogance is palpable. How many of you have seen an arrogant person around you? He didn't say anything, but you felt it. It's not a matter of height or fatness or anything. He may be tiny like this, but you can feel this man full of himself. It's a new day for you. Stand up on your feet. so much to say tonight. You know, I told you it's deep brokenness and open heavens. And all we have done with is just the deep brokenness. I'll continue the second part of it tomorrow. Is there anything that is too solid in my life that needs to be broken? You know, even in the blacksmith's place, equipments are not made until metal is melted. You can't fashion a tool or anything, a knife or anything with iron that is not melted. God is saying there is so much I want to do with you, but you are too stiff, inflexible. There was 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but his destiny was limited until it was broken. Did you hear what I just said? Stand up on your feet. The 5 loaves and 2 fishes was available, but was not usable until it was broken. And by the time it got broken, its potentials became limitless. I am sure if there were 1 million people there, they would have fed. And then everything ended better than where it started, with 12 baskets filled out of 5 loaves and 2 fishes. For as long as it was 5 loaves and 2 fishes unbroken, it may be only one person's food. But if it is broken, it can feed a generation. The reason why some of us, our impact is limited, is because we are intact. It's limited. The number of life, even out of your message, nothing much is happening. There's a lot of grammar, there is a lot of poetry, there is a lot of nugget, but nothing is happening. 1 or 2 miracles, but nothing is really happening. But God wants you to quench the hunger of a generation. And you do it when you have been broken. If he is the living bread, we are also bread. Because we are sons. He is the firstborn. We are after his order. And the purpose of bread is to meet hunger, generational hunger. That was why the fig tree was cursed. Because a generation is hungry and it couldn't meet their thirst. Hallelujah. Will you pray Evan Roberts' prayer? Bend me. Not just bend me, break anything inside. Just bring me to a point where you can fashion me into whatever you want to use me for. Bring me to the point where you can fashion me. Bring me to the point where you can mold me. Bring me to the point. For some of us, God says, you talk too much. And I cannot use a talkative. You will never be able to keep secret matters. For some, God says, your anger, your temper is too much. You will mismanage the crowd and the people I want to bring your way. For some, you say your appetite for money is too much. You can almost transact on the church. Make deals using the church. For some, you say your competitive tendency is too much. You see ministry as a competition. You see life as a contention. Somebody is doing where you are angry. See, if you are angry with what I am doing with him, why do you want me to do the same in your life? You cannot celebrate it. You cannot compliment him. You cannot say, you cannot pray genuinely for him. Why do you expect me to do anything in your life? What I am preaching to you now, it's what we will preach to ourselves in the university days and be on this topic for three days and just be crying morning, afternoon, night.
Lord, make me a practical instrument for you. Use me, Lord.
We'll just be on it permanently. Permanently. For the next 5 minutes, anything in my life that is not yet broken, pieces it. Any attribute, any character, any tendency, any nature, anything in my life that is standing in the way of your move, Father, crush it. Father, collapse it. Anything in my life that is making me not to be who you want me to be, anything in my life that is a hindrance to your move, that is a hindrance to your power, a hindrance to your purpose, a hindrance to the glory, Father, break it. Father, break it. Father, crush it. Father, crack it. Father, break it. Father, crack it. Father, collapse it. Make me usable. Make me an instrument in your hands. Father, break me. Break everything in me that is contrary to your ways, to your move. Every nature, every character, every attribute, everything that will limit the opening of the heavens, the falling of the rain, everything in my life, 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 every tendency, every proclivity, every nature, every characteristic, whatever is contrary to you, break it, Lord.
The Lord make me. practical instrument for you. Use me, Lord. Lord, make me a practical instrument for you. Use me, Lord. Lord, make me practical instrument for you. Use me, Lord. Lord, make me practical instrument for you. Ooh, 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 ooh,
ooh. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands high. Lucifer was already in heaven. He already made heaven. Or probably he was made in heaven. But he left heaven and went to hell. Because of pride. Because of ego. I. If somebody is a being that was already in heaven, is not praying to make heaven, is already in heaven, can be kicked out of heaven, how much more difficult will it be for someone who is already out? But you know what was heavier than Lucifer's pride? Envy. I will be like the Most High. I will accent my seat in the size of the envy of Lucifer. The creature. Envying the creator. Job chapter 5 verse 2. You know what he said? Wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly. Envy will make a man silly and kill him before his time. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 4. And he said, wrath is cruel, anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? See, there's so much jealousy, bitterness, competitiveness in ministry. In ministry. Friend versus friend. Son versus father. That was what Lucifer did against his creator. You know, our Father in the Lord, some people envied, hated his drastic progress until they couldn't be son anymore. What does he want to do to all of us? Why is he proving that? What? Father, every Luciferic tendency in my life, kill it, crush it by your spirit. He was a spirit, a sinless angel. Every Luciferic tendency in my life, Lord, crush it. Lord, kill it. Lord, ruin it. Cause it to perish. Open your mouth and speak to God. Open your mouth. Ooh, 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 ooh. perish. Let envy die. Let envy die. Let bitterness die. Let jealousy die. Let pride die. Let arrogance die. Let every of these tendencies die in my life. Let them die. Let them die. Let them die. So I can see an open heaven. So that the rain of revival can fall. Let them die.
Heavenly Ghost, stand right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hands in praise. Without a doubt, we know that we are being revived when we shall leave this place.
In the name of Jesus, lift the hands high up. If you are in need of making your way right with God for any reason, please step forward quickly. You are in need of making your ways right with God for any reason at all. Step forward quickly, carry your Bibles and your bags. The rest of us, lift up your hands, pick up these messages, go through them. This is almost 8:26, 8:30. I'm sure you'll be able to afford at least 1 hour before you sleep tonight. Even though this prayer in the morning is 6 a.m., then the morning session starts by 7:30. So just pour your heart before God. I see encounters overnight where God will show you areas He wants you to do something about, areas He wants you to amend, areas He wants you to watch out for, and areas He wants to do something with you about. There are things now you can't see, but He's seen them. And He will deal with them overnight. In the precious name of Jesus. Pick your Bibles and your bags, those coming forward. The rest of us, lift up your hands and appreciate God for what you have received tonight. The release in this mood, this climate. If you are here for the first time, also join us forward. In addition to those surrendering their life to Christ. We release in this climate and in this mood. And the Lord lay His hands upon you. Grant you drastic encounters overnight. And help you to move in that realm where the brokenness will be deep. Where the heavens will be open. And where the rain shall fall. In the name of Jesus Christ. And may God make you an answer. Hear this. When the bread was not broken, it could only meet the need of one person. But when it was broken, it could meet the needs of a generation. May God bring you to the point where your life and your assignment and your destiny can begin to meet the needs of generations, the needs of families, the needs of communities. In the name of Jesus, a new day is upon you. A new season is upon you. New help is upon you. New mercy is upon you. So shall it be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine on you and be gracious unto you. In Jesus' precious name. Look at somebody by your side and tell them, surely goodness and mercies shall follow you all the days of your life as you dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Shout the loudest amen.